In Psalm 103, verse 2, David the king once wrote, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In that verse, David tells himself and his own soul to forget not. Forget not. I think David knew, as we all know, how easy and how quickly it is for us to forget things. And of course, as you get older, you realize even more how quickly and how easily you forget things. It's common to us as human beings, but unfortunately, that same thing happens even when it comes to all of the great benefits that God Himself has provided to every single one of His people. The benefits of deliverance, of salvation, of grace and goodness. You know, the song says that we can count our many blessings, and yet so often we forget about those blessings, and we let the trials and the troubles of life just get us down, and we ignore those blessings. And I think that is one of the reasons also why back in the book of Esther, both Mordecai and Esther, along with all of the Jews all throughout the Persian Empire, they wanted to establish for themselves and their posterity a new holiday that we've been learning about the last few weeks. A new festival to remember the great deliverance that they had received from their impending destruction at the hands of Haman and his allies. They did not want to forget. They did not want to forget the blessing and the benefit that God had given to them through their own deliverance. And that is also why so much of Esther chapter 9, even though it seems repetitive as you go through it, it tells us more about this new memorial day for the Jewish people. It was so that they would forget not. Forget not. And so we're going to head back to Esther chapter 9 this morning. And as we do, we're going to learn a bit more about this great new celebration. In fact, we're going to learn what it's called. There in toward the end of chapter 9, verses 26 through 28 will be our text, where again we read, "Wherefore," and of course that refers to all of the celebration that was taking place on those 2 days after their great deliverance from their enemies, "Wherefore they called those days Purim," after the name of Pur. "Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, concerning the days of their deliverance, and which had come unto them, the peace and the rest and the relief that they got, the Jews ordained, and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep those 2 days according to their writing, and according to their appointed time every year, and that those days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed." And what we read is that with this establishment of this new holiday, the Jews were telling themselves and telling every other Jew to forget not the great blessings of Purim. And of course, this holiday is something that they celebrate even today. And they were meant to not forget several things. The first thing that they were not to forget was the meaning of Purim. The meaning of Purim. Of course, that's the word that they ended up using to call this celebration, those days of celebration. Again, in verse 26, "Wherefore they called these days," those 2 days of the month Adar, "Purim," after the name of Pur. Now, whenever someone names, whenever a people name a holiday, it's something special. And there's got to be something significant about that name. And we know, of course, that was the same with the Jews. This new holiday was called Purim because of what we've already seen that word mean. It was used in Persia for the word lot. In fact, it describes the lots that were cast by Haman. Remember what those were for? He cast lots to determine what day would be the best day to destroy the Jews. And so in a sense, he was gambling with their own lives. And we see this all the way back in chapter 3, verse 7. You don't need to turn there, but we find what the word pure means in that context. Where after he figured out he wanted to get rid of the Jews because of Mordecai, it says that in the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pure, that is, the lot, before Haman, from day to day and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. So the word pure was not an original Hebrew word that meant lots. The writer of Esther had to explain what that word meant to the Jews, so we understand that lots is a translation of the word pure. Now, when we come to the idea of lots, the Jews knew some things about the lot that Haman and their enemies did not. Because the lots that were cast revealed some very special things to the people of God in a very unique way. They knew that the lots, whatever was cast around, revealed the control of the Lord instead of chance. You see, many years before this time period in the children of Israel's history, there is another wise man by the name of Solomon, gifted by God with great wisdom. And one of his words of wisdom is found in Proverbs 16:33, where he wrote that the lot, or the pure, is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. You see, the Jews knew something about lots, even more than Haman did. Even though Haman sought to gamble with the lives of the people of God, ultimately they knew God was in control. They knew that even those lots, those chance games that were made, they knew that God ultimately was the one who disposed of them. I like the words of George Lawson, who wrote that even chance, or what we would consider chance, is under His management, God's management. And those things which to us appear most accidental are managed by His providence to accomplish His designs of mercy to them that love Him. Isn't that a great truth for us today? Even those things that seem like chance, even those things that seem like accidents in our lives are under the management of God. And the Jews knew this. They understood this. And that's one of the reasons why Purim was named after those lots that Haman used. After all, isn't that the great message of the book of Esther itself? And that would have become the true meaning of Purim. The lot reveals God's control. But the lot also revealed, I believe, the choice of the Lord. Another one of the primary uses of the lots back then among the Persians was sorcery. It wasn't just a game of chance. They would actually use it to figure out what the spirits or what their false gods wanted them to do. It was a bit of sorcery. And it is very likely that this is what Haman was doing as well. It wasn't just a game of dice. Instead, he was casting them before idols, or they were casting them before himself as priests, trying to figure out and ascertain what those spirits wanted him to do. But once again, the Jews would have known another special truth about even those kind of lots, and that is that no matter what spirit, no matter what power stood against them, because they were God's people, God remained on their side. You see, way back in their history, in the book of Numbers chapter 23, there was a false prophet by the name of Balaam. If you've gone through your Take 20, you're familiar with the story of Balaam and how he was hired by Balak to curse God's people. And yet God prevented this man from cursing God's people. In fact, God turned the tables on Balaam and actually gave him some real truthful words to speak to God's people and to Balak. And in Numbers chapter 23, verse 23, even the false prophet Balaam was directed by God to say these words. He said, "Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel." In other words, no matter what spirit, no matter what power was out there that was trying to withstand the people of God, there was no chance for them because God had already chosen the Israelites to be His own people. So God's people did not need to fear any enchantment, any divination, any sorcery, any casting of the lots, because they were God's people. They were God's chosen people. And that would have become the true meaning of Purim for them as well. But as I was going through this, I still kind of wondered, as one Jewish rabbi asked, why would you call a holiday after your enemy? Why would you call a holiday after the device that he even used to determine the day of your destruction? Why call it Purim after the lot that he cast? Well, there's an interesting thing about the word pure. And that is that it meant one thing to the Persians, but it would have altogether had a different meaning to the Jews. Let me give you an example. This can happen with words even today. In English, the word mere, M-E-R-E, means something that is small, something that is relatively insignificant. It's mere. But in Russian, that same sounding word, mere, if we were to transliterate it, it'd be M-I-R. It sounds the same way. It also has a different meaning. In Russian, it means the world. But even in Russian, that word mir can have a secondary meaning. It means peace. So I always joke that when the Russians were wanting to have mir, what were they really describing? Were they after peace or were they after the world? Well, this can happen with words even today. These words have similar sounds, but in different languages, they have different meanings. And I think perhaps that might be what the Jews were thinking when they named their holiday after the lots. You see, the word pure that was used in Persia may have meant lot, but in Hebrew, the word pure, though sounding very similar, would mean to cancel something or to annul something. And it's possible that the Jews called their new holiday Purim with that double meaning in view. Whereas the Persians would think, oh, it's about the lots. The Jews would say, no, it's about God canceling out what Haman devised to do to us. It further reveals to us the counsel of the Lord. In Psalm 33, verse 10, we see these two truths put together, where it says that the Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. And isn't that exactly what God did to Haman and his enemies and his devices? He brought the counsel of the heathen to nothing. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. That is what took place in Persia in the life of Esther. Haman's wicked device of the lot was canceled and annulled and brought to nothing by God, because his counsel for his people is what would stand. David continues in Psalm 33:11 and says, it's the counsel of the Lord that stands forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. It didn't matter what Haman wanted to do. It didn't matter what the spirits would have wanted them to do with the casting of the lots. What mattered was the counsel of the Lord that would stand forever. And that is the true meaning of Purim. That is the true meaning of this new celebration and this new holiday. And the Jews were not to forget it. And that's why they could say to Haman the same words of Joseph back in Genesis chapter 50. But as for you, Haman, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save many people alive. But do you realize that Christians too are Purim people? We may not celebrate the same holiday that the Jews do today, but we still have the same philosophy, and there really is the same meaning to us as believers, because Purim is about being delivered. Purim is about God's control and God's counsel and God's choice of you to save you from your sin and to deliver you to Himself. We have been delivered if we have faith in Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:13 says that we've been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And that's why we must never forget the meaning of our own Purim. We must never forget the meaning of our own deliverance. It reveals that God is in control. If He would have left things up to ourselves, we would still be walking in our sin and walking to our destruction. But no, God in His sovereign grace and mercy reached down to save us and to quicken us and to awaken us to the need that we had of Jesus Christ. It reveals to us His choice. It's not that we've chosen Him, it's that He chose us. And He claims us as sinners to become saints. Oh, what a wonderful God that we have. What a wonderful deliverance a child of God can have. And that is why we can and we must celebrate and give God the praise and the glory that He is due. We are Purim people. So do not forget the great meaning of your deliverance, just like the Jews sought to never forget their own deliverance through the celebration of Purim. Back in Esther, the Jews were also not to forget the motives for Purim. or the motivations, those things that originally caused them to celebrate those 2 days. When it comes to Christmas time, the day that we often celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know if that was when he was born. But there's a lot of other things that go around at Christmas time that don't have anything to do with Jesus. They don't have anything to do with Christ. And what is always the thing that we often come out, the quaint phrase, that Jesus is the reason for the season, right? Well, I think whenever you have a holiday, you have that propensity to forget the meaning of that holiday, the reason for those seasons. Sometimes people just get together for the 4th of July, Independence Day, and they celebrate just to have a fun time. Or Memorial Day or Labor Day, and they forget the real reasons why they had those seasons. Well, the same with Purim. And I think the way that Jews even celebrate Purim today means that they have actually forgotten the reason for that season. But we find the motives for this celebration back in verse 26. It says, "Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them," says in verse 27, "that they established," they ordained those 2 days of celebration. You see, they wanted to remember the reason for that season. They didn't want their family to forget about it. And we see in this verse three main reasons, three main motives why they celebrate Purim. The first motive is the explanation of their deliverance, which of course they received from all the words of this letter. Remember Mordecai? Mordecai was so overjoyed that he wanted to write down and use his position and authority within the Persian Empire to let all the Jews, wherever they lived, know about what God had done and know about their deliverance. And so he took up his pen, he took up the tablet, and he wrote those words and sent those letters to every single Jew, wherever they lived, so that every single person, no matter where they lived in the empire, would know what happened. And they never wanted to forget that explanation. They never wanted to forget those words. Have you ever received a letter from someone that you hadn't heard from a long time? And you wanted to read that letter, and you wanted to read that email, or even that text for that matter. You wanted to hang on every word. You didn't want it to end. Imagine those kinds of letters, those letters of joy and letters of deliverance, and they never wanted to forget the explanation that Mordecai gave, how God truly sent them deliverance. They wanted to remember those words. The second motive is the experience of their deliverance. They had personally seen things concerning this matter, it says there in verse 26. You see, there were Jews that were there. Imagine if you were one of those Jews who had prepared all those months for that one single day where all of those enemies of God's people would come against you and want to kill you. Imagine the pressure and the pain and the struggle that that must have caused them. These were the ones who had fought for their lives, fought for their families, fought for their communities, and even fought for their God. And now, because they personally went through this and experienced this, they wanted their people to never forget that experience. That was another reason why they established this holiday. And I can imagine that's one of the reasons why some of the holidays that we celebrate in our own nation were established. Because of the feelings and the experiences of the people that have gone on before us. They want us to feel what they felt. They want us to know what they knew. They never wanted their people to forget their own experience. There's a third motive here, and that was the effects of their deliverance. Or those things, according to verse 26, which had come to them. What came to them? What were the results of their deliverance? They had rest from their enemies. They had relief in their hearts. And they could rejoice over what God had done and how their hearts were turned from sorrow to joy and from mourning unto a good day. And they never wanted God's people to forget those effects and that same joy. We are told that these are some of the reasons why that holiday of Purim was established by the Jews, so that they would never forget their feelings and they would never forget their ultimate freedom. But isn't it tragic that even those who know Jesus as their Savior sometimes forget their deliverance? Sometimes we forget all too quickly and all too easily what Jesus Christ has done for us. So what can we do? What can we do about that? We need to keep going back to the explanation of our own deliverance. We need to keep going back to the record of God's Word that shows to us exactly what God did to deliver us from our sin and deliver us from ourselves. We need to keep going back to the Word of God that tells us of Jesus and His love. We need to keep going back even to our own experience of deliverance. You know, one of the things that we haven't done for a while, maybe we'll do here in short order, is to hear our personal testimonies of what Jesus Christ has done in your life and how you were saved. You know, sometimes when I was a boy, I would hear people's testimony and I would hear how God saved them from a life of drugs or a life of violence and all of these things. And I would think, man, I don't have a testimony like that. I mean, I wasn't saved from that kind of a background and that kind of a lifestyle. And I think, well, you know what? Actually, I was. He prevented me and saved me from that kind of background and from that kind of lifestyle. And the truth is, every single person who has Jesus Christ as their Savior, whether they are saved at an early age or at a later age, every testimony is a testament to the miracle of God bringing you from darkness to life, bringing salvation to you from your sin. And that's why every testimony, every experience of a child of God is something that is worth sharing. It's something worth shouting about. It's something worth celebrating. And that's why we ought to go back to our own testimony, our own experience, and tell people about it. It gives us joy to think about how God has saved us. When was the last time you thought about when you were saved? You go back and think about your testimony. There's no greater joy. That's a motive for our joy. We also need to go back and think about the results of our own deliverance. Think about all the great blessings and benefits that God has provided to you as a saved individual. Even as David did once again in Psalm 103, verse 2 through 5. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles?" Can you testify of those great results in your life today? Can you say with David that your iniquities, all of your iniquities have been forgiven because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you? Can you say with David that He will someday heal you from all of your diseases? Would you realize a Christian who knows Jesus as their Savior? The Bible says to be absent from that frail body is now to be present with who? The Lord. And then you will ever be with the Lord. And that's why He will then heal you of all your diseases. And that is the hope of a true child of God. Can you say that? He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He even satisfies your mouth with good things. Think of all the good things that you have, even just in the world that we live in. He has given you a great nation to live in. He's given you a great family to have. He's given you a great church to worship in. He's given you all these wonderful blessings. How can we not praise God and celebrate Him for who He is and what He's done for us? We have so many great reasons and motivations to bless and praise the Lord because we too are Purim people. So let's not forget all His benefits. Another thing in Esther that they were not to forget in verse 27, is they were not to forget the mission of Purim. The mission of Purim. This celebration of their deliverance was not meant to be kept to themselves. It was meant to be shared. Look at verse 27 again. With these motivations and these reasons in mind in verse 26, the Jews ordained in verse 27 and took upon them and on their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them. So those are people that weren't Jews, but became Jews. And they ordained it so that it should not fail, that they would keep those 2 days. Doesn't matter how you became a Jew. Keep those 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year. So we find a mission for the people of God, the people that were the Jews there in this time of Purim. Those days became a time of commitment. A commitment to remember what God had done for them. The Jews, it says, ordained Purim. to become a national holiday. In other words, they were united in their commitment. Now, we all know that this often happens when there's a national tragedy. This happened on 9/11 back in 2001. There's a lot of young people here who think, what's the big deal about September 11, 2001? You see, time has progressed. Time has gone on and people forget about what took place on September 11. I remember when we were in Pearl Harbor, there in Hawaii, just a few months ago. And of course, we know what took place there on December 7th. And yet, more than likely, every single year on December 7th, there might be one or two people that post something on Facebook, remember December 7th. For the most of the people in the country, they kind of forget about what took place on Pearl Harbor Day. It happens. With every passing year, more and more people will forget what united them, the tragedy that brought them together, and unfortunately, that unity and that harmony that they had at the result of those tragedies are easily and then quickly forgotten. And the Jews did not want that to happen concerning what took place in the book of Esther. They did not want this to happen to them. And so it not only became a time of commitment, it also became a time of communication. They didn't keep it to themselves. In verse 27, it says that they took upon them and upon their seed, their family, their children, their grandchildren even, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them. You see, the deliverance of those days, as well as the celebrations of those days, belong to all Jews. If you are a citizen as a Jew, if you were the children of a Jew, if you were converts to the Jewish nation, they all wanted to know the truth about those days. And it's because they all enjoyed the benefits of that day's deliverance. You see, back in chapter 8, verse 17, if you remember that first letter of Mordecai, when he finally was able to say to the Jewish people, hey, you have an opportunity to defend yourselves. You don't have to worry about Haman's decree to destroy you. You can actually arm yourselves and defend yourselves on that same day. But back in chapter 8, verse 17, we learned that at that moment, many of the people of the land became Jews, it says. Now, that doesn't mean that they got Jewish passports, because the Jewish nation was still in its infancy after that exile time. It had to have been a religious conversion, where now the Jewish people became their people, but the Jewish God, the true God, became their own God. Many of the people, it says, of the land became Jews. I wonder how many became Jews after this great victory over Haman and those enemies. You see, after all of those 75 plus thousand enemies were killed and slaughtered, I believe many of the people of the land would have seen and heard for themselves that God was with the Jews. They said, hey, if God can be for them, God can be for me. So they joined themselves. And their history, the Jewish history, became their own history. And the Jews, it says, they welcomed them with open arms. And they all celebrated together. And so then it became a time to continue. He goes on in verse 27. They ordained these days so that it should not fail, that they would keep those 2 days according to their writing, faithfully, and according to their appointed time every year, regularly. And guess what? That's what they did. And that is what the Jews still continue to do. Their mission was to not let the memory of their deliverance fail. They wanted to ensure that the people of God would never forget the great deliverance that God had brought to them. And that, too, remains our own mission as the people of God. Remember, we're Purim people. We've been delivered and we have something to celebrate. And that's why we are to communicate to everyone the message of deliverance through Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus himself gave us that mission. You don't have to go back to Esther. You can go right back to Jesus himself in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where he says to all of his disciples, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's your hometown, in Judea, that's your more local area, local community, and in Samaria, and even unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? So that those who do not know the one true God can come to know the one true God and then become part of the family of God. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to welcome them with open arms. And you know, when a person becomes joined to the people of God through faith in Jesus Christ, they are then joined to the history of the people of God as well. But I think we also see from this that we have a special interest in communicating the gospel to our own families. And again, this is something that the Jews did not want to let fail. This is something that we must not let fail. Our children and our grandchildren, our brothers and our sisters, or our brothers-in-law and our sisters-in-law. God has given us an immediate circle of family and friends to influence with the gospel. This is our mission field. And we as Purim people who have been delivered and have been given something to celebrate ought to welcome other people just like Jesus welcomed us with open arms. So we must not forget this great and continuing mission that we have. But we also see from verse 28 that the Jews also established this feast of Purim so that they would not forget this memorial of Purim. He goes on in verse 28, and that these days should be remembered. It's a memorial time. Should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city. And that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. So Purim was once again designed for the Jews to contemplate and celebrate their time of deliverance. It's one thing to remember something, it's an entirely different thing to celebrate it, right? Sometimes we will go throughout our year and I will remember, usually a day late, my brother's birthday or my sister's birthday. That's usually a week late. But then it's another thing if I don't do anything about it. Don't make a phone call, don't send a card. The Jews said, no, we need to not only remember these days by looking into the record and remembering what God has done for us, but then we need to celebrate like we used to celebrate before. We need to remember and celebrate, contemplate, and be excited about what God has done. And we see the extent of this memorial in verse 28. We see when they were to remember. It was to be remembered throughout every generation, or from generation to generation, from age to age. No matter how long ago the event celebrated passes into history, it needs to remain fresh for every generation. You see, that's one of the reasons why people forget, is because those who experienced it fail to share it and communicate the joy and the great feelings that they had with those who need it. We as Christians need to be able to share the great feeling of joy and goodness at what God has done for us. We see the extent of who is to remember. Every family, no one is exempt from this. After all, they were all included in this deliverance. We even see the extent of where they were to remember. Every province, every city, every provincial Jew, every city Jew, no matter where in the world a Jew might live. And even today, no matter where you find a Jew, you'll find the Feast of Purim. It was important then, it still is important now, that these days of Purim should not fail and that they do not forget. And so even today, the Jews forget not to celebrate Purim. If you read some of the descriptions of this festival today, it really is one of their most joyful occasions and even sometimes one of their most crazy holidays. Even though that holiday may not be celebrated the way it once was, it still is something that they remember. They remember. Now, of course, they do not remember it the way we can remember it. We can remember again how God used this as a picture of our own deliverance. But even though this holiday is not something that started at the very beginning of their history as the people of God, the holiday of Purim is a shadow of things to come. It was a shadow of things to come. As great as Purim is to Jews today, and as great as Purim was to the Jews in Esther's time, Jesus Christ once again brings an even greater deliverance and a greater joy and a greater celebration for all those who come to Him by faith. And that's why we can be true Purim people. That's what we must never forget. The history of Esther is our own history because the God of Esther is our own God. So do not let the memory of God's great deliverance fail. Do not let the memory of God's great deliverance perish from your own heart. So say to yourself every day, if you can, if you truly know Christ as your Savior, if you truly have been delivered from your own sin, say to yourself every day these words with David, Psalm 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You that we who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are pure in people. And we can remember these things that even the Jews strive to remember when they celebrate this Feast of Purim. And yet, Lord, we know that feast, just like all of their others, it's just a shadow of what You offer to all men through faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where now, when we believe, we have a greater deliverance. And now there can be a greater celebration. And now, Lord, we have an even greater opportunity to witness to all those in the world around us the great and mighty works of God. Oh, Father, I pray that we will live our lives as Purim people. And that, Father, there will truly be a joy welling up in our hearts. A joy that no one and nothing can suppress. Because we are thinking about, we are contemplating, we are even celebrating Your continual work in our life. Oh, Father, I pray that we will see ourselves as Purim people. And that, Father, we will be able to say again with David that we are not to forget Your benefits. We thank You, Lord, that You have forgiven us of all our iniquities. That we can have hope that You will heal us from all our diseases. That, Father, You establish us with Your great loving kindness. And that You are the one who satisfies and fills us with good things. Oh, Father, thank You. I pray, Father, that we will have praise in our hearts and praise on our lips because of all the great and wonderful works that You have done for us. I pray, Father, that today we will not forget all Your benefits. For we are, in fact, Purim people. For it's in Jesus' name and for His sake we pray these things. Amen.